This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Yes, sir. Good. Tom Hayes, Alan Kreisman, Craig Zaden, and Neil Merriman.
I'm
Alan.
He's Sean. John.
Neil.
Craig.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Do we need mics, or we just say?
No, we can hear you.
We just talk? Okay.
It's a very small room.
So we just heard from Jack Nicholson saying that he had a thing where he went into the hospital and was there for weeks right before the film started and had sort of panicked. What is the stew of the movie? At this point, are you saying we're not going to start on time?
We didn't start on time.
We started, I think we were supposed to start the beginning of November, and we ended up starting the beginning of December or something like that. We started 8 weeks later than
we
had.
We started in January.
No, we started in December.
December.
So we did, it was like we had an eight-week delay.
Did you think you'd have to recast, or you couldn't recast?
This is not a movie that you recast, you know.
Question for the producers. Such a disparate or a wide range between Hairspray and this movie. Could you just sort of talk about your own personal wish list? I don't like to say bucket list. And because you seem to have a lot of diversity in your work.
Well, I actually think that's kind of the key, is to just kind of keep on moving from genre to genre. I think to challenge yourself in not being loopholed. I mean, it's kind of like an actor when they kind of get pigeonholed for one particular genre and they always kind of resist and they want to do other things. It's the same with us, is that we're always looking for challenges, different types of things, as long as it kind of maintains the same type of integrity. And when we're dealing with a movie like The Bucket List, with Jack and Morgan and Rob Reiner, it kind of fits right into what we love to do. It's not exactly the same, but yet it has the same humanity, and that's one of the key elements to things that attract us.
A lot of people said that this year, I'm quoting other people, I'm not quoting myself. A lot of people said that this year there were a lot of depressing films, and a lot of violent films, dark films, negative films. And we felt that The Bucket List is not that. The Bucket List is uplifting and spiritual and moving and emotional. And that if you cry at the end, you cry feeling wonderful at the end. You feel really good about that you've learned something or felt something rather than, oh, God, that was so dark and depressing and dreary. And, you know, so we felt like we were going in a different direction with the movie this year.
Sony, you ran out.
Baby. Sean, have you ever created a list of actors that you wanted to work with? And then could you also just talk about, I mean, you had some great scenes with Jack. Could you talk about what it's like to go toe-to-toe with someone like that?
Yeah. I mean, in my head, I created a list. Never thought it would come true. But, yeah, and of course, Jack is there and all the greats, Tom Hanks mostly. Jan Morgan, and that was, you know, the table read just to see my placard, and says Morgan Freeman, Jack Nicholson, Sean Hayes next to each other. I was like, that doesn't look right.
That's what Jack said, too.
Yeah, I'm sure. Who's that? So the moment I saw that was kind of like a dream come true. There are no words. I mean, it's completely fulfilling. But then once you know you get on the set, you go, it's fun. You're actor to actor, and he makes you feel very, you know, at home and at ease. So it was nice.
So, producers, hi. Were there any ever original plans to, like, actually film at the pyramids or the Himalayas or where? I'm not sure where you really went. But I think...
We never left L.A.
You know...
Really?
No.
Yeah. When we were leaving the last press conference, somebody came up and said, hey, aren't you supposed to not tell them that this is, you know, you didn't go to these places?
Well, Jack's already spilled
the beans. I understand. Yeah. You realized.
But I was just wondering if there were original plans to do that, or maybe either budget or because of the age of the actors. Maybe
that was kind of our bucket list, to go to these places, but it didn't quite come true.
You know... As Rob says, you go to the studio, go, hey, I got a great idea. Let's make a movie about two old guys dying. Right. You know? And they don't.
It's already been done.
Right. They don't like open the checkbook and go, how much? You know. So we had to make what we weren't sure were going to be compromises. But at the end of the day, the truth is, it looks in a way better than if we had gone there, because we had no weather problems, we had no other kinds of problems, you know. And so we were able to, and what they can do is so extraordinary these days that, you know, on the top, when you look from the top of the pyramids with Cairo in the background, which, by the way, was at a parking lot in Hollywood, but, you know, they put buses and people and, you know, things nobody else sees except us because we've been looking at them so much.
I wonder if you could tell me about why Sean was the right choice for this role, and then Sean, can you tell me about
why I was the wrong choice?
No, the audition process and how you came about getting the final role.
Yeah.
Well, tell them what you did when you came in, right?
Well, the first, I was the first. Right, this is like going to be one of those stories. That's right. IMDb. Oh, that's funny. I went in and read. I had the wrong sides because I didn't have the right draft. So instead of just winging it, I said, I'll come back next week. So I came back, and I had prepared a scene from A Few Good Men. And the why did Lieutenant Kendrick order the code red kind of thing. And I started that scene, and I stopped, and I go, do I have the wrong scene again, like I did last week? He said, yeah, that was already, I already cast that movie. I said, did I get it? He said, no, Tom Cruise got it. But
the truth is,
I read the real scene.
The truth is, he read that scene. Everybody broke up laughing, and then Rob just went, "Okay, there was no choice here." I mean, this is what we're doing this part.
But yeah, it was nice. It was a very, very loving room when I walked in. So.
And Sean, over here, the first day you had to actually walk on the set and do a scene with Jack Nicholson. I just wonder. What are you feeling?
A complete and utter fear. I mean, yeah. Totally, you know, unworthy, all of those actor feelings, insecurities. And then, you know, like I said, it's he was very warm and gracious and, you know, just it's a job. I mean, it's a job we love and we love to do, but it was, and that made me feel very relaxed, was that, okay, we're here to work. We're not here to kiss anybody's ass. We're not here to. We're actors in a scene, so that made me feel very relaxed.
And did you do a lot of rehearsal before the film actually started?
No. That was actually the great thing about working with them was Craig had said in the previous conference that we only had one or two takes because we were hired because we know what we're doing, hopefully, and. And the trust was there, and so we rehearsed on our own, and then maybe there was a little rehearsal, but, you know, at that level, at that fast pace, you better know your shit. So, and that was also a big fear, but it drives you.
We heard from Morgan that Jack likes to rewrite.
Yeah.
Right before he's up all night, he's refashioning lines and stuff.
Yeah.
How did that affect you, Sean?
Well, that was also one of the things that I observed and was inspirational to me too, because it was nice to know. I mean, I do that too. I like to, if something doesn't feel right, you like to suggest a new line, and I did, and some of them made it in the movie.
A lot of them made it in the movie. Wasn't it your line about leave everything to the assistant?
Yeah, that was my line. I mean, it was nice to know that that was okay. You know, you hear how writers or some people get real kind of uneasy about that, but if it's under the right circumstances and it's all about approach, then it's nice. But it was inspiring to see that Jack did that.
Sean, after eight or nine, how many great years that you were on Will and Grace, do you find...
Five great, two just okay. Three just okay, I'm just kidding.
Do you find yourself for roles that are as far different as your character as possible, or...
So, am I looking for roles that are...
Yeah, that get away from it.
Yeah, I'm looking for roles that pigeonhole me, where I can't do anything else. Of course. I mean, that's the goal probably for any actor, is to challenge yourself and not take the easy road. And, you know, it'd be easy for me to go off and do another sitcom. I could do, you know, as a CBS executive said, we'll buy a show over the phone with Sean. That's too easy. So I'm here, you know, to live my life, which means challenging myself. And so that's what I plan on doing.
Have you done anything else since this or before this?
I'm working on an animated feature right now called Igor for the Weinsteins and Exodus.
It's called Igor for the Weinsteins?
Yes. Yeah, kind of redundant, isn't it? Yeah, I'm kidding.
And there's no salary.
Yeah. God, that's going to be pretty. I'm going to get a call and I'm fired on Monday. No, it's called Igor for the Weinstein Company.
Sean, can you talk a little bit about the inspiration for this character and for everyone? Did you have a favorite scene in this movie?
Of course, every scene, and I'm not just saying that, every scene was, like, completely thrilling to me. But I really liked the last scene only because of what it stood for and what it meant, and the fact that Jack's character requested he be buried like his best friend in the most simplistic, chock-full-of-nuts way. And it's just really touching to me, that last scene in Morgan's voiceover, kind of summing everything up. I just thought that's probably my favorite scene. I mean, even if I wasn't in it, I'd love that scene.
The rest of you?
Oh, hello. Hi.
What was the favorite scene with Sean? I mean, I loved every scene with Sean, and I also loved the fact that, you know, they were, because a lot of what's really funny just came out of ad-lib, both from Sean and Jack. I mean, at the table read, Jack came up with the line, "Nobody cares what you think."
That's so great.
Which, to me, is still the funniest line in the movie.
Yeah.
You know?
That was pretty funny.
And in my family is now everybody text message each other, "Nobody cares what you think."
I don't know what reason, but I love the scene between Morgan and the woman that he meets at the bar and
Hot Dog. That's great.
That's my
There's just such a conflict there that's so understated and it's so beautifully acted that it's kind of just to see Morgan know what's going on deep within him. I just love his acting in the scene, and I think his relationship with that woman is great because it kind of like propels the ending of the whole movie. Because at that point, he realizes what's at home, and it just kind of like spurs him home. And to me, that's the height of movie acting.
And that woman, Rowena King, she's really
next to Sean's movie acting.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah, she was great.
She was great.
Yeah,
very talented.
Hello.
Hi.
Jack and Morgan both talked about the lack of sentimentality in the movie, which was a good thing. Can you talk about how you kept that at bay and what Rob brought to it in terms of keeping the tone of the movie correct?
Well, I think that, you know, by having Rob Reiner direct it, you automatically keep it at bay. Rob's gift, he has many gifts, but one of his great gifts as a director is taking serious dramatic work and finding the humor in it. And never letting things get... Again, there's a line between sentiment and sentimentality. And sentiment is good because it's moving. Sentimentality is, you go, ugh, they're manipulating me. And there's always that tiny little ground between the two that you have to stay on. And Rob is brilliant at that. He understands, because he started as an actor, and he understands exactly when you're going too far, when you're not going far enough. And I think he did a great job. The last time I saw a movie that did that was Terms of Endearment. I think that movie was very funny, and then in the end, very moving. And I don't remember a movie since then, really, that's done that until Rob did this.
And, you know, the actors, all of them, Sean, Jack, Morgan, you know, their instinct is always to be real. And if you have people of that caliber that want to be real, you know, they're not going to allow it to, you know, slip into the maudlin or the sentiment.
This is for Craig and Neil. You got a TV movie into Sundance.
Yes.
I wanted to know if you could talk about your reaction to that happening.
A Raisin in the Sun.
We produced a TV movie version of A Raisin in the Sun, which was inspired by the last Broadway revival with Sean Combs and Felicia Rashad and Audra McDonald. And to us, it was a labor of love. It's something that we've always wanted to do, and we felt very, very passionate about it, about what it meant and about that cast. And when we saw it all put together, we realized that we had something special. So we wanted to do something special with it prior to the time that it aired. And we came up with this crazy idea, why don't we just submit it to Sundance and see what they say? And lo and behold, it's now become the first network movie ever screened at the Sundance Film Festival. And we're thrilled, and it's very, very meaningful because our belief in the project is somehow justified, that it's more than just an event for television. It hopefully will get worldwide attention because of that, and it deserves it. I mean, that's a brilliant cast, it's a brilliant director, and we're really proud of it.
Any chance of it theatrically being screened in the United States or overseas?
No.
With something like that, if you have to do it, then you have to go and renegotiate everybody's contract. The economics of it become completely different. And truth be told, it will hit a wider audience on television. It's meant for access, because we want to give the opportunity to have access to that story, and being on network television will allow that to happen.
Okay. Speaking of future projects, I hear you guys are going to be doing Fahrenheit 451, and I'm wondering what the inspiration to move into that genre was.
We actually got involved in Fahrenheit like 10 years ago or more than that. We bought the rights to it and set it up at Warner Brothers with Mel Gibson originally starring in it.
Yeah.
And then he did Braveheart, and he came back to us and said, I think I should also direct it. We said, fine, because he had just won the Academy Award. And then
that was kind of an easy choice.
And then he came back and said, how about if I direct it and not star in it? And then it started to sort of fall apart, and it took many, many years before Frank Darabont called us and said, it's been my passion project. I have to do this. So Frank is writing it and directing it, and it's his next film, and Frank is in the middle of meeting with stars and casting it right now.
Is it a script that's done and could be going?
It's a script. That it's still a work in progress, and I think to answer your question, why we got involved with it is because the themes, like Raisin, like The Bucket List, like Hairspray, they're somewhat timeless and relevant. And it's a great story. I mean, Ray Bradbury's work needs to be seen again. It needs to be brought out. And it's one of those classic stories that never dies. They can always use the dust blown off of it.
One of the things I appreciate most about this is the adult romantic scene with Morgan and Beverly Todd. Can you talk about casting her in that role, please?
Well, we just opened, we had a casting director, Jane Jenkins, and we just read a lot of people for that role, and she came in, and she just blew us away. And Morgan had worked with her in the past, and he was very high on the idea of working with her, so it just became an obvious choice. I mean, casting this movie was incredibly easy. There were, a lot of great people like Sean and Rob Morrow who just wanted to do the movie, and it was an embarrassment of riches. But Beverly just came in and just read for the part, and she was great.
About what musicals you might be thinking of doing in the future. Come on,
always the musicals.
And also, I wonder why Nelson Mandela. Was there a part with Nelson Mandela in this movie that was cut out? Okay, and why was that cut?
I think it was. I actually think that it was cut out because we didn't think that it kind of, when we put it all together, that is in the script, it didn't seem to fit what was going on in the story. I mean, it was a terrific concept, that somehow Jack, because he was this billionaire and knew everybody, was able to introduce Morgan to Nelson Mandela, but then we thought, what has Morgan ever talked about Nelson Mandela? It just seemed like it didn't fit into the what was actually really relevant to their relationship and what was going on.
No,
it was just
in the script.
Oh,
sorry, you called up Nelson and said, guess what?
Well, actually, the truth was he was extremely, you know, cooperative. He's just, you know, not in, he's also not in the greatest shape, and we didn't want to take advantage of
him. Well, the truth is he read Ford and didn't get it.
But did Morgan talk about the fact that he's doing the Mandela story there,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
because he's doing the biopic on Nelson Mandela and playing Mandela.
And about musicals, the next one that we'll do is going to be for television, and like how we did Rodgers and Hammerstein, Cinderella, and Gypsy, and Annie, we're going to do a new production of Peter Pan, the one that Mary Martin did on stage, which was only done on videotape, and Kathy Rigby toured with it. You know, she's still touring somewhere else. those wires are getting kind of shredded, but the flying wires. And but it's never been committed to film, so we're going to make a movie out of it for TV.
My favorite musical as a kid.
Yeah, it's a great musical, great score.
Sierra Richard.
Sierra Richard and Mary Martin.
Exactly. Will a girl or a boy play
I will
Peter
be a woman, because the score was written for a woman's voice.
Yeah. We believe in the tradition, like people said to us when we started Hairspray, why not just cast a woman? But, I mean, John Waters created it to be a man in that part, and we wanted to continue that tradition the same way as Peter Pan was written for Mary Martin, is written for a woman. We will continue that. We're going to have a movie star play that role, female movie star.
And a petite movie star.
A petite movie
and
star.
It's going to be on ABC, like the rest of our musicals.
And it's Raisin on the Sun?
Raisin on the Sun.
ABC also?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Last question.
I have a question for if anyone wants to answer this. With having Jack in your movie, did you have a lot of friends that wanted to visit the set?
Yes. Yes, we did.
Yes.
But you had to be really careful because you didn't really want to have a gallery of people watching. You know, it's really hard because you want to keep the set a real calm, friendly place, and you don't want to have intruders there. But Jack was very wonderful about greeting people, and you know, the one thing we didn't know, having not worked with him, we didn't know how he would handle guests. But he always came over to people and said hello and introduced himself. And you know, you always judge actors by the way they treat the crew.
Yeah.
You know, we did a movie with Sean Hayes called Martin and Lewis, where he played Jerry Lewis a couple of years ago.
He was terrible at the crew, right?
He was terrible at the crew.
I jumped on them and peed on them.
And he was the first actor we'd ever worked with where the first day on the set, he went over and learned everybody's name on the crew and then said hello to each of them each day. Now, what happens is, they can't wait to do something and help you and support you because they feel like you're treating them so wonderfully.
Why wouldn't you be any other way?
But a lot of people are not.
Yeah.
For example, the young woman who played his daughter, who was just, you know, kind of an extra, and he was just incredibly nice to her, Jack. And, you know, they're chatting silently in that room there, so he hung out for a little bit with her, and she was just blown away at how giving and sweet he was, you know, so he's a quite remarkable guy.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You.
I had a question, a follow-up for you guys. Do you have like a start date for Fahrenheit?
No.
Because we have to cast it.
And else, yeah.
It's based on an actor schedule.
And I wanted to know, are you guys going after Tom? Because a lot of rumors are Tom Hanks is going to be the guy.
You know what? He was on the list of people that we were thinking about, but there's never really been any active, you know, pursuit of him.
Theater doesn't give her that exposure.
I mean, he's one of the people, you know, Frank Darabont has a couple of people. Tom and, you know the list.
Yeah.
he's meeting with a lot of different people, so, you know.
So I guess my question for you is, see, the script is ready to go, though. If you had the cast...
We could start tomorrow.
So do you have any sort of... Is there a goal to try to get it done by June before the quote-unquote actor strike?
No, because it's depending on which actor says yes that we want and then when they're available. So we have to work around the schedule of the actors.
But the studio is definitely... This is a priority project.
Oh, yeah.
Guys.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just... It's
so glad you're doing it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Because I think the Truffaut film was disappointing. And Ray Bradbury... felt it wasn't his. He felt it didn't represent his book.
So how close to the original is it going to be?
It's closer to the original, but it's still Frank Darabont's vision. It's a whole other vision of it. But it's very... It feels closer to the book than, much closer than Truffaut's.
And so it won't be a sort of a modern... It's definitely sticking with the books.
Yeah, sticking with the books. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it will make reference to other things, but it will stick with the books.
Bob is waiting to come.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. I just one final question, though. Do you guys have, like, a budget in mind? Is this, like, a mid-sized budget? Is it a big budget?
It's going to be more in the range of, like... Let's say 70 or something like that. Then it won't be over 100. It'll be more like 65, 70-ish in that area. So it won't be enormously expensive. But we'll have to shoot it in a place like Prague or something like that, you know, to try and get a good deal on
I totally understand.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm really looking forward to it.
Just got to know if you've ever played.